Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. We'll keep the Topper conversation going. It's officially Topper Watch on the Midday Show, Hugh.
That's crazy.
As the Phillies are deliberating if he's going to stay the manager. I'd keep him. Kyle and Hugh ready to move on or willing to move on from Rob Thompson.
I mean, see, you make it just sound so bad, Joe.
That's not bad.
It's not. I mean, I'm not. I like Topper. I don't want to move on. I just know how these things work.
I get it. We're scapegoating.
I'm not scapegoating. The players are.
The players
are the ones that let him down.
And the GM.
The players threw their manager under the bus.
They played like crap, and he might take the fall for it. Back to your phone calls on that in a second, but. You know what we have on Sunday? Something we've not talked about the whole week, which is so bizarre in Philadelphia.
Game day.
We had a football game. Eagles off the bye against the Cleveland Browns. And you may not believe this, but I promise you it is completely factual. I'm on FanDuel right now. The Eagles are not just favorites over a bad Browns
team. They're heavy
team.
Favorites.
They are the biggest favorite in the NFL this year.
In the world.
This year. I don't believe there's been a double-digit favorite yet in the NFL. They are 9.5-point favorites to beat the Browns on Sunday and to beat them bad. I do wonder if this spread goes up to 10 by kickoff, which would be remarkable considering how the Eagles have played. But, Hugh, before we hear from Jalen Hurts what he said this week, I understand it. I understand why.
Browns got a good defense, though. They still got a good defense.
It's good. Not quite as good as last year. This is the Browns' third straight road game. Mm-hmm. The Eagles off a bye. A.J. back. Devontae back. Lane back. This should be a smash spot for the Eagles. In fact,
Myles Garrett banged up a little.
He is. In fact, you know what I'm willing to do right now?
What's that?
And this might be the only time, maybe Caroline, I'll do it in December. I'm guaranteeing an Eagles victory on Sunday. Yeah. This is a guarantee. This is a victory for the Eagles on Sunday. And I'm very willing to say it because if I'm wrong on this, everyone will be mad at the Eagles and not me Monday because this is on them. This should be a lock victory. If they can't beat this version of Deshaun Watson and a team on their third straight road game off their own bye, then this thing is a disaster. I believe the Eagles are going to win this game. In fact, I'll guarantee it. This is a lock win. Hugh, you feel as strongly about this one as I do?
That's nice.
That's nice.
Yeah, that's nice.
What does that mean?
I ain't guaranteeing nothing.
Over the Browns?
Man. See, you about to put me in a bad spot.
I just want to know what you got to say.
You about to put me in a bad spot.
I mean, come on.
And I'm stuttering. I'm about to start stuttering. I look at this game, and I listen to what's being said this week. Mm-hmm. And it makes me nervous. I'm not going to lie. And I know people are probably like, oh, hell, what is Hugh going to say to mess up my weekend after what the Phillies just did? That's not what I'm trying to do. Just let me say that first and foremost. I think that the Eagles have a chance to win. I'm just not feeling as strongly as you are about it.
A chance? They're 9.5-point favorites.
Can I just tell you how my thought process works? And
yes.
I'm pretty sure everybody wants to hear this because they're like, yeah, sure, Hugh. Tell us how that messed up mind yours works. And let me say this first. Because I'm about to go down. Give me a little bit of runway, Joe, because I'm about to long talk just a little
Uh-oh.
Bit. Just a little bit. I'm about to do a little long talk.
Hugh Sirianni over here.
Kyle, stop it. I applaud Jalen for being honest in all of his press conferences. I do it all the time, and I like the fact that he's transparent and all this other stuff. I had a problem with what he said this week. And before anybody gets on me about, well, damn, Hugh, he can't win for losing. That's not what I'm doing. I'm just leery of the messenger because of the way he delivered the message.
Before you go on, let's hear it. Let's hear Jalen Hurts, what he said this week about his week with the bye and his message about Nick Sirianni.
This is probably, one of the most efficient bye weeks I've been a part of this year. Where my career, just been able to, I said, share those moments and talk through some things and build.
So that was on the bye week. It was efficient. Now let's listen to what he said about Sirianni, the two of them during the bye week. This is, I believe, what he was referencing.
The moments with Nick over the bye week, what prompted that? It might, you know, somebody might say, okay, it's the bye week, I need to get away, I need to clear my head, and then come back fresh. But it sounds like you guys both felt the need to come together and deal with some stuff.
Well, we're the two leaders of the team, you know, and I'm happy and fortunate that, you know, we were able to come together in harmony and have the same goal in mind and trying to get this thing right. I got a ton of confidence in him, a ton of confidence in what he brings and everything he's been able to accomplish, and just continue to press on that, you know. Everybody goes through different moments. Everybody experiences adversity, but we've experienced different levels of adversity together, and we're excited for what's to come.
All now, right, this is where I need somebody to help me out, because this is where I get a little leery of the messenger. And just let me say this, because I think of every press conference that Jalen has had this season. And initially when it started, we started off good. He was saying all the right things, and we were applauding him for saying the right things. And then all of a sudden, as we go and progress through the weeks, pointed things were asked to him, pointed deliveries, and he hedged on a lot of the stuff that he said. A few weeks ago, and this is the one that sticks out to me, when they said, hey, well, what's up with you and when coach? And I'm ad-libbing here. And he said, we have our moments. Mm. And then all of a sudden, a week later, he comes back. And I understand, and I am the proponent of, you know, take a week off and come back and feel good. That just felt a little bit over the top to me. That's all of a sudden. Perfect analogy, toilet seat. All of a sudden, the toilet seat, I put the toilet seat down, and, you know, she's complaining about the toilet seat.
Sure.
And a week later, she comes back and, oh, you're doing a great job of putting the toilet seat down, or just, you know, saying it, just being over top with her applauding me for doing what I'm supposed
to do. So your antenna is still up.
Yeah, it's up, because it was just a little bit too much. It was a little bit too much.
I don't disagree with that, and I don't think we're past the Sirianni-Hurts nonsense.
I don't think so.
But the Browns stink. Can we agree on that? This team stinks. They can't move the football.
They can't.
They have a quarterback that makes $60 million a year that they can't move the ball. If the Eagles can't beat this team, and by the way, they're on their third straight road game. They're on a end of a road trip.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And the Eagles are off a bye. This is the best schedule spot that I've seen the Eagles have in five years.
And this is where I felt like the easy part of the schedule is coming upon you.
It should be now.
I'm a little leery of the team right now.
As much as the Eagles had a quote-unquote scheduled loss, according to you, Hugh, against the Bucs, this is a Browns scheduled loss.
This is a scheduled Eagles win.
It felt like it felt like that was the case.
Well, you could argue every week is a scheduled loss for the Browns when they put Deshaun Watson out there.
Yeah. I don't know, though.
This is a scheduled Eagles win.
Scheduled
it
loss.
Is. So you with me, Kyle? Is this a win?
Of course.
This is a lock.
Joe, this is – guys – there is no bigger lock in sports, maybe the rest of this year, than the Eagles winning this game.
FanDuel watched the Eagles play the first 4 weeks and put them at 9.5 points. What does that say about the Browns?
9.5 points, dog. I'm just saying.
I'm not guaranteeing a cover.
No. I'm not going that
far. But the Eagles will win this game. Like,
who said? Did somebody say something about win by 30? Did
win
I hear somebody
30.
Say that? Somebody said that. I am not sleeping. I
drinking
did hear
early on
say
a
that.
Friday. Yeah. Winning
yeah,
by
somebody
30.
Said winning by 30.
Yeah, I'm not expecting that, but I do fully expect an Eagles victory. All right, 215-592-9494. Are you willing to guarantee an Eagles victory in this game on Sunday? I am. I would be floored if the Eagles lost this game. We would have to reevaluate everything we thought about the football team if they can't beat the Browns with that quarterback at home, off a bye.
Bit creepy.
With all their guys healthy. I mean, this is it's as set up as possible for an Eagles victory. We'll throw that in the mix. And, of course, your take on Topper. Do you want him back as the Phillies manager? According to Bob Nightingale, the Phillies are meeting to deliberate their coaching staff, including the future of Rob Thompson. It is Topper Watch here. Last time we had Sirianni Watch, they made us wait 9 days. So the Phillies going to do the same? They're going to blame a snowstorm for the press conference and all that nonsense?
A heat wave.
Yeah, heat wave. It's pretty cold this morning.
Yeah.
It's too hot.
Yeah. It's too mild in October. We need 9 days. 215-592-9494. All right, let's go to the phone lines here. Your reaction to all the Topper stuff. Do you want him back? And the Eagles, well, you're willing to guarantee a victory. Your take on the game this coming Sunday. Dan in Marlton. Hey, Dan.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call
You
here.
Got it, Dan. What's up?
Yeah, so to win a championship in sports, your best players need to play well. The Mets players did that. The Phillies players did not. So, I mean, I think in this case, too, you got to be really, really careful about firing someone, especially a guy that, listen, I know it doesn't look, it looks bleak right now, but Topper's had a lot of success, and it was a dumpster fire before he got here. And the second thing is you got to make damn sure that the guy that you hire after him is going to be better. There's no guarantee of that, right? And then also, I'll defend Dave Dombrowski here just for a second. I can't believe I'm doing this, but I will. You know, if your best players don't play well like the Phillies did, adding another bat at the trade deadline and mortgaging the future to do so wasn't going to change the outcome.
See,
so
Dan,
really,
I
comes down to these best players need to play better.
I hear you, but that feels like a cop-out for a GM. Like, you're right about that, but let's just go to the game on the other night, right? It's a close game. If they had gotten a different player at the deadline, I don't know who, Jesse Winker with the Mets, or pick a right-handed bat in the outfield not named Austin Hayes, and that guy hits a home run, the whole game might have changed. I mean, you're right. It does mostly come down to the top of the lineup. It just feels like a cop-out, like a shrug of the shoulders from Dombrowski, like, well, it's on the Stars. Well, you could also improve the bottom of the roster just in case.
Yeah. Yeah, he certainly could have, and also with the bullpen as well, because that was a lot of talk at the trade deadline. I mean, their bullpen was doing really, really well, and then their top two guns out of the bullpen just didn't play well. So it comes down to that. But, I mean, again, I think before Dombrowski and before Topper were here, I mean, we kind of got to look at what this was and what it's become. Now, it hasn't gotten over the top.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And certainly, I think the hitting coach, something needs to change there because they made no adjustments throughout the series. They kept swinging at balls in the dirt, and the Mets kept throwing outside the zone, and nothing changed.
It did not change.
That's really, really concerning for Topper as well.
It is, sure.
No adjustments were made.
Well, not enough, and obviously not in the biggest moment. Dan, we appreciate the phone call. I am – the whole thing about Dombrowski, I understand that we could blame Topper for his usage of the players. It just it smacks me in the face. When I think that his two biggest trade deadline acquisitions, one gave up literally the series losing home run. They were probably going to lose anyway. But Estevez came in. They traded two of their best pitching prospects for Carlos Estevez. He was brought into the game to face the Mets' best hitter, and the ball went 375 feet.
Yeah, he threw some heat.
The other big acquisition was Austin Hayes. He was so bad in Game 3.
His tummy was bad, though.
Everything was bad. Those are
You can't control.
If I'm Topper and Dombrowski calls me in today and says we're going in a different direction, I smile, nod, and say good luck. I mean, like, seriously,
dude. He had E. coli, though.
Well, he did.
He had E. coli.
So we're excusing the Austin Hayes thing because of E. coli?
I'm just saying it happened. It did happen. It's just unfortunate the way that it happened. If I'm anything, I'm mad at the guys that Dave Dombrowski believed in could get it done during the trade deadline, because that's basically what it was. He looked at the top of that order. He looked at the guys that he had and the way that they were playing, the way that they were swinging the bat, and he said, you know what? I just need to tweak it just a little bit. Mm-hmm. That's the problem. That's exactly what happened. Regardless of how we want to talk about Bryce Harper's OPS and all this other stuff, in key moments this postseason, yep, he came up short. Now, you can talk about him having the highest OPS and whatever you want to talk about in baseball during this series. But when we needed Bryce Harper to beat Bryce Harper, he wasn't that guy.
Well, the biggest at-bat of Game 6, he did fail. Yeah. That's Manaea.
And that's the biggest problem. But in a situation like this, you're not going to get rid of Bryce Harper. You're not going to do that. But you have to do something that's going to keep this fan base engaged.
So
that's the unfortunate thing about all of this.
So we're scapegoating Topper.
I mean, basically.
No, well, look. I don't know. I think that's oversimplifying it a little bit. We would all agree there's so much blame to go around all over the place for the Phillies not advancing past the end of the S. Dombrowski, the core star players, even Rob Thompson, the bullpen, all of that stuff.
Yeah, but you got to, somebody has to take the heat.
So really my question is, what is the benefit to bringing him back next year?
I feel like he's the only manager I've seen with this group that's gotten them to play consistently.
Point, yeah.
Play their best. I just wonder if we're approaching this the wrong way. Maybe he's getting the most out of them. He got more
maybe
than Girardi.
Maybe they're underachievers.
Well, we keep saying they're underachieving. Are they?
Or maybe this is all they got.
Maybe this is who they are. And he's the only one in 3 years that has gotten them to play at a high level for extended periods. Girardi couldn't. Mm-hmm. And I know when Gabe was here, it was only a small portion of this roster. But he had Wheeler. Or he didn't. Excuse me. He had Nola. He had Harper, he had Real Muto. I mean, we thought they were better than that, and then maybe they weren't.
Well, so this is going to sound crazy. When Doc Rivers got here, not that the Sixers like improved great like massively, Embiid had an MVP season under Doc. Tyrese Maxey took the next step under like there are like I don't think Rob Thompson adds like 10, 15 wins to this ball club.
Oh, he doesn't.
Club.
He doesn't. I know.
No. Well,
yeah.
So, like, is it not worth a try?
But, okay, that's the sense I'm getting. Like, maybe this will work.
Yeah.
Let's try it.
Well, because you're not, because you can't do anything about Harper. You can't do anything about Trey Turner. They're stuck here.
Yeah, they're going to be here.
They're stuck. So,
I mean. That's why if I'm Topper, I just say thanks and good luck.
Well,
you're firing me because you don't want to.
Well, that's fine. And I'm happy for Topper.
It feels cosmetic. It feels like the house has got some cracks and we're like,
okay, but,
you know, let's put a new front door. It'll make it look nice from the outside.
But then again, it's like, how many times are you going to fall short before you say, well, I have to try something without just staying status quo?
I get it.
Because right now, the Sixers comparisons work.
Because that stinks.
I know. But we're in purgatory right now. So it's a matter of, are you okay with that? And you think, well, I'll just stay the course. We'll eventually break through. And that's the Topper mentality.
Yeah.
Or do you take a big freaking swing?
Well, they could. Now, again, my feeling on this at 215-592-9494 would be different if there was that slam dunk. Because the basketball-baseball comparison, I think they're kind of similar. I don't think there's many managers that make a big difference in baseball. There's a handful. Terry Francona's one, Bruce Bochy's one, Alex Cora seems to be one. If one of those guys was available, and you know, earlier this season, it sounded like Alex Cora was available, but he re-signed in Boston for a lot of money. Terry Francona, well, I don't know if he'd ever come back here anyway. He just went to the Reds. Like, if you give me the guy that's like, wow, this difference-making manager, sure. I'm not married to the idea of Rob Thompson managing this team until he's in his 70s. I just don't think he's the problem. Let's talk to Herb in the Northeast. Hey, Herb.
Herb.
All right, listen, okay? Mm-hmm. I want to speak to you guys because eventually I'm going to talk to Dave Dombrowski.
Eventually.
Well, what are you going to tell him?
I'm going to tell him that, like what I'm telling some of the stuff I'm going to tell you now.
Okay.
Is what I'm going to talk about. First of all, okay, this team, the lineup that they got, if they're going to bring up some of these guys next year and that, I'm going to have to hit down at the bottom of the lineup. I already know who I want to be hitting. I really want to see some of these kids, the outfielder and Miller. I want to see what they can do in spring training. But, okay, I think they need to go out and sign a couple more players. If they can move somebody, one or two guys, okay, fine. The reason they lost this, okay, is because Topper, and I'm sure Dave Dombrowski is going to talk about this, is why, okay, and I've been harping on this all year, about the strike zone, about you guys swinging, okay, the hitting coach needs to go.
Mm.
He ain't done nothing, okay? I got the man that can do it.
Oh, who's that?
But I'll tell you a little after I get done with this.
A little tease there from
all right, what?
Herb.
What? Okay. They lost the game because game one, they had the game won. They had their best pitcher in the game. All he had to do was say, can you give me another inning? I'll put you out there. If you go 1-2-3 or 1-2-3-4, no runs.
He had a lot of pitches, we'll Herb. A lot of pitches. Tonight. 111.
I hear that. That's, you know what? That's why you're sitting at home today.
Told you.
This was in game five today. Okay? Because we should have won game one and we should have won game two.
Are we getting the rocking music today?
I'm not hyping anybody up. I'm just, every time I hype up, nobody understands me. Okay? What I'm trying to tell you is Why did you go get that pitcher from the Angels? He was supposed to have been your closer, eighth or ninth man.
They put him in the biggest moment, and Lindor hit the ball to a different burrow. He stunk.
Why did Remuto call four straight fastballs? You don't do that, man. You got to mix up some pitches. He was right on that. He missed that third one, and then he wound up hitting the next one that was 99. The other ones were 100, 101. They blew it, man.
Who's the new hitting coach, Herb? Who's our new hitting coach?
Curve or slider.
Who do you want to be the coach?
I used to catch, and I ain't giving you no four straight fastballs.
Well, I agree. Well, then we should rip Realmuto for it. Who's the new hitting coach?
Dave Dombrowski needs to have a long talk with Realmuto, too.
Sure.
Because I've been watching Realmuto, and he's been calling a lot of fastballs since he got back, okay?
We could talk with him all. Who's the new hitting coach, Herb?
I got a friend that's been the coach at the Tampa Bay Tampa Rays. Okay?
What's his name?
I've known this guy since 1993. Okay.
What's his name?
You don't want to tell you.
You're all hyped up. His name is on there. He went to University of Tampa. I'm trying to think of his
University of Tampa, and he coached for the Rays. All right.
Call us back when you figure it out.
We'll find that out. Herb, remember his name. Phone call.
Guy you've known since 1993.
I haven't heard Herb get fired up like that.
Herb was mad at you a little bit. He about to bite your head off.
You know what? I have news for you guys. If you think they're going to fire a topper and find the manager that's going to push Wheeler in game one
good luck
to 125 pitches, you're going to be – you have to go back in time. Go dig up Earl Weaver. Go find a manager that's not alive anymore. Like, what are you guys talking about? We're not going to have – they don't make managers like that anymore. The front office doesn't even let managers do that anymore. 215-592.
Don't mess around and get that manager Sprewell.
Yeah.
Cats don't play that no more. Man, for all y'all don't know what Sprewell is, go look up Latrell Sprewell.
P.J. Carlissimo will never forget. Fingerprints on his neck. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop aboard here. All right, we got the Eagles in the mix. Are you expecting and are you willing to guarantee a victory for the Eagles? This isn't, they're a 9.5-point favorite. Hugh won't even guarantee a victory over here, which tells you all you need to know.
Now,
I'm guaranteeing this is a lock victory for the Philadelphia Eagles on Sunday. It is the easiest win of the year. And yell at them, not me, if they don't figure it out.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.